Continuing the saga of the short Azov that was augmented with an added piece of thread or a spindle reed to make it long enough to dip in the water. The previous Mishnah told us that you can use it to dip, but you can't use it to sprinkle. Why not? Our Mishnah explains, Hiza, if somebody sprinkled with this short Azov branch, and it was still attached to the string, it was still attached to the spindle reed. So then there's a safek min hachut. Did the sprinkling go from the string? Safek min hakush. Did the sprinkling on the tamei person come off of the spindle reed? Safek min hagivol. Or did the sprinkling come properly from the stalk of the azov? So if it comes from the azov, then it's what the Torah demands. If it comes from a string or a spindle reed, that's not what the Torah says. You have to sprinkle directly from the branch. As a result, has a yosel psula, the sprinkling is puzzle. Because of the suffake, we don't know if the sprinkling was valid from the Azov. On the other hand, we do know a chazaka that the person was tame before he got sprinkled. So we say that the vadai of his tuma, the certainty that he is still tame, stays in force. Because the sprinkling was only a doubtful removal of the tuma. So we say the vadai definitely takes precedence, especially when it is a chumra d'oraisa, because his tuma was from an avatuma. Safek, he's al shnei kalim. Similarly, if he sprinkled one sprinkling on two kalim, so he's got a regular azov this time, nothing puzzle about the azov, and he sprinkles onto two kalim that need sprinkling, but safek al shneim hiza, the safek then is, did the sprinkling directly land from the azov to the kalim, to each one, or safek mechavero mitza olav, or are we worried that one of the kalim got wet because of the dripping of the chatas water from the first keli? For example, you sprinkle on the first keli and it bounces off and hits the second one. So the problem is, was his haza'a truly on both kalim, or was it in fact only on one and then there was an indirect drippage onto the other one? Haza'a sapsula. Same ruling as our short azov, we have to say that his sprinkling is possible because we have a vadai tame keli there, and we have only a suffix of whether it was a good sprinkling, so that sprinkling is ineffective. Machat shehi nesuno al hacheres. If a needle is fixed in an earthenware holder of some kind, and he sprinkled on it, so v'hiza oleha, suffix ala machat hiza, suffix min hacheres mitza oleha. The suffix then is, did he manage to sprinkle directly on the needle, or did some of the mechatas fall on the keli that was cheres and then splashed or dripped on the needle? So it's the same question as the two kelim. Was it an indirect haza'a or not? Haza'a sapsulo, again, it's still invalid. Even though this case a little different, because the kli cheres didn't need sprinkling, it was tahar, but the needle will not be made tahar through a dripping from the cheres. And so as a result, we have to say that it's no good. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained that this Mishnah is lozu afzu. Not just this, but even this. So not only when the doubt is where the sprinkle came from, the stalk or the thread, but also when there's two kalim where the drops certainly came from the azov originally, but we're uncertain whether the drop came directly from the azov to the second keli. And not only this case, but even where the drop fell upon the keli fulfilled its mitzvah, even a needle, where if it splashed from the earthenware, the cheres didn't need sprinkling in the first place. All of these cases, we say, it is a puzzle, an invalid sprinkling. Tzolochis shepi hotzar. If you have a flask that holds the mechatas in it, and it's been mekudash, the ashes have been added to the water, and it has a narrow mouth. So in such a situation, how are you going to deal with the azov? So tovel umala kidarko, he can dip the azov in and raise it out of the flask in the usual way. We're not afraid that the narrow opening means that the azov will scrape against it so that the water will come from the actual mouth of the keli and not from the azov. So you've got a situation where we say, nevertheless, the water of the azov is still connected to the azov and it doesn't come from any kind of scrapage. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hazayir Rishona. Rabbi Yehuda says only the first sprinkling does he simply pull it out of the keli and then sprinkle without worrying about it? For the second sprinkling, because the Azov is already wet, it'll stick to the narrow mouth that it's being shoved into, and it'll absorb water from the walls of the keli as it goes in. And that's not called dipping. That's called extruding, essentially, from the walls. And so the Rabbi Yehuda suggests that only the first sprinkling would work. You should use always a wide-mouthed keli to take out the mechatas using the dipped azov rather than a narrow one. Mechatas in ismayatu. Mechatas in the keli decreased, so it started to run low. Tovel afilu roshe givolun umaze. He can be tovel even the tips of the stalks of the azov, and then sprinkle as long as ubilvad shelo yisafeg, as long as he doesn't wipe away water from the bottom or the sides of the keli using the azov. He has to dip, not wipe. So you know how it goes. You're down at the bottom of the ice cream container, and you're scraping off all of the edges to get every little bit of that luscious cookie dough ice cream that you're desperate to have. Chol Yisrael, of course. In such a situation, by scraping the edges, that's not called dipping, betoval, as he's supposed to do. So in a keli that has a narrow mouth, we might have a potential problem. In a keli where you let it go too low and scrape around the edges, you might have a potential problem. A nice full keli is the way to go. Now we get to a situation with the sprinkling. There were tummy people in front of him and behind him. And the Kohen, or whoever is doing the sprinkling, intended to sprinkle in front of him. But instead, while he's doing the whipping motion with the Azov, he sprinkles the people behind him mistakenly. Or he intended to sprinkle behind him, la'acharav, he's a lefanav. Hazayaso psula, then his sprinkling is pasul. So his sprinkling is possible because his kavana was not the same as the actual act of sprinkling. He meant to go front and he got back. He meant to go back and he went front. And this is not supposed to happen because he is supposed to sprinkle upon the tahar, is supposed to sprinkle directly on the tameh, on him, with his intention, according with his actions. Lefanav bihizo al hatzdadim shel lefanav. On the other hand, if he wanted to sprinkle in front of him, but he sprinkled on the sides to the right or left, but which are still in front of him, then we say hazayasek shero, then it's kosher, because the right or left in the front are still considered in the front of him, in that 180 degrees that are in front, and so it is kosher. The same thing if he meant to sprinkle behind him and he sprinkles the sides behind him, as long as it's in the same general direction, that's okay. Mazin al ha'adam midaito v'shalom midato. A person who is tamei can be sprinkled upon whether he is aware of it or whether he's not, even if he's asleep, because the person getting sprinkled, the passive partner here, does not have to have kavana to be sprinkled upon. And this would be mazin al adam v'al kelim v'afilu hein meya. You can also sprinkle upon several people or kelim at once, even if there's 100 of them. He can do one sprinkling, and whoever receives even one drop is tahar, as long as he was part of the kavana of the person doing the sprinkling. So, a very interesting Mishnah about sprinkling, and also a moral of the story. Don't record your Mishnayos at dinner time, because telemarketers are all going to call and interrupt three different recordings. Mishnah Gimel, Niskavin lehazlas al davar shehu mekabel tuma. If the person had the intent to sprinkle upon a person or keli, which is mekabel tuma, but instead he's al davar she'eino mekabel tuma, he ended up sprinkling on an animal or a stone keli, which is not mekabel tuma, then as long as im yesh ba ezov, there is still water, chat mechatas, left in the branches of the ezov, lo yishne, he should not repeat. And by not repeat, we don't mean don't sprinkle again. We mean don't dip it into the keli a second time. Instead, just use the remainder that's on it to sprinkle on the proper mekabel tuma person or kelim, so that that will happen. On the other hand, al davar she'eino mekabel tuma bivizah al davar she'mekabel tuma. If he had in mind, when he dipped, to sprinkle on something not mekabel tuma, and then sprinkled somebody that did need sprinkling, because he is mekabel tuma, so he had in mind, I'm going to sprinkle on an animal, which is incorrect. He's not supposed to. But instead, he sprinkled on a person who was tamei and desperately needed sprinkling. Well, then, im yesh bo ezov yishna. If there's still any mechatos left in that Azov, then he has to repeat and dip a second time. Because since his first kavana was for something pusil, then the sprinkling was for something pusil, and so what he should do is re-dip. And the Mishnah gives an example. So, for example, al ha'adam izal abahema, in the case where he intended to sprinkle on someone makabel tuma, and he accidentally sprinkled on something which is not like a behema, im yesh ba'ezov lo yishna, as the first case told us, if there's still mechatas left in the ezov, he does not re-dip. However, if he intended al ha'behema, to sprinkle a behema, which he's not supposed to do, a behema is not makabel tuma, he's a al ha'adam, and he sprinkled a person instead who did need sprinkling, im yesh ba'ezov yishna. If there's still mayim chatos left on the ezov from the pusil sprinkling, then he needs to re-dip. And again, the pusil sprinkling is because of his kavana, not because he sprinkled on the wrong person. He sprinkled on the right person, but it was an accident. He intended to sprinkle on the behema. Ha'mayim ha'menatfim, water that drips from the ezov, if he dipped the ezov to sprinkle on something that is not mekabel tuma, but it's still kosher, even though he can't use this mechatos, the dipping was pusil, but if the water drips from the ezov into a keli that is tahar lechatos, and then he dips into the new keli, which has mechatos in it, then that water can be, in a manner of speaking, recycled, and it would be a valid sprinkling. Lefichach, and therefore, heim mitamin l'shem mechatos, it renders impure as mechatos, since the dripping water can be sprinkled, but hasn't been used yet, it has the same status of kosher mechatos, and it will make somebody tameh. The same way regular mechatos makes somebody tameh, this dripped into a new kosher sprinkling keli will also make somebody tameh. So that just reinforces the idea that this mechatos maintains its status as mechatos, even though he originally dipped it for the wrong purpose and it just dripped properly, lucky for him, fortuitously, into a keli where he can now dip properly as if it was for the first time.